www.ChristianCity.com.
This morning, we are in week number two of our series called Identity, and you know, the hope and the heart going into this has been that we would realize who we are in Christ, or at least who we can be in Christ if we will put our faith and trust in Him. And, you know, my own personal prayer in this has been I long to be able to share these things with you, not just from a place of, oh, I found this in Scripture and I want to share it with you, but that it would really be something that penetrates into the depths of my own heart personally, and that it would penetrate into ours. And I want to pause just for a moment as we dive into this topic this morning and pray for us that God would do that, okay? So if you'd join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, that the words that we're going to be looking at from your word are what you say about us, and we want those words to penetrate deeply. So Father, help us to open our hearts, our minds, our spirit to you this morning. And Lord, as we do that, pray that you would penetrate deeply. And where there are maybe even walls of resistance inside of us, we pray that you would break through those and that you would speak deeply to our own hearts this morning. We want to be open to you and to your spirit and what you have to say. And we lift this before you as we dive into your word. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. As we start this this morning, I want to actually rewind, do a little quick rewind. As we're talking about identity series, and the English word identity comes from a Latin phrase "identidem," which means sameness. In essence, it means sameness. In fact, that little phrase is like a breakdown of two Latin words, "idem et idem." It's like a phrase, but it's basically repeating the word for same twice. So it literally means same and same, like two things that are identical. And last week we talked about identity theft, right? How our original identity was stolen from us. See, our original identity was I was uniquely created in the image and likeness of God. I was uniquely created in the image and likeness of God. We are created to have a sameness with God, but now, that doesn't mean we're exactly like him or that we're a God of our own of some sort, but we resemble something of him, that was his intent. But my original identity became marred by sin. My original identity became marred by sin. So we read about Adam and Eve who disobeyed God and brought sin into the equation. And of course, we're all affected by that. All of us by nature and by choice have done things that are against the heart of God, so we're all affected by sin. Now, we still bear the image of God to a certain degree, but the sameness in terms of innocence, that has been lost. So our identity, through the deceit of the serpent, it was stolen from us. It was a case of identity theft. But God sent his son Jesus to give his life as a pure and perfect sacrifice for our sin. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we get a new identity, one that's even better than the original identity. If I've put my faith and trust in Jesus, my true identity is this: I have become, I am a new creation in Christ, and I have become the righteousness of God. I am a new creation in Christ, and I have become the righteousness of God. So that was what we talked about in terms of an identity theft, that our identity was stolen from us. Now this week's theme is identity fraud. And you might say, well, what's the difference between theft and fraud? And quite honestly, there's not a whole lot of difference, all right? It's not a whole lot. Usually, both involve some sort of theft, some sort of stealing of some kind, stealing something. But theft is just concerned with the result of the crime itself. Okay, theft is like an armed robbery at a bank. Okay, they don't care if people see that they're stealing from the bank. Now, they don't want to get caught, but they don't care that people see what they're doing. It's theft. They just want the money. They're concerned with the end result. But fraud is usually done in a way that the results of the crime are not obvious or immediately noticed. Okay, it's like someone who embezzles money from a company over years and years and years of time, and the company doesn't realize it happened. They strategically take a little bit at a time, and whittle away at the whole picture. Well, when it comes to our identity, I think there are a lot of voices out there that are telling us who we are or who we're supposed to be. But a lot of these voices don't have our best interest in mind. They don't speak the truth of what God says is true about our identity in Him. Sometimes those voices are so subtle, we don't even realize it's affecting us. And we start to internalize them, and then they chip away at us little by little. And in the end, we end up robbed of who we truly are meant to be in Christ. So like the last guy in the video, we start to believe, I'm nothing, right? And I've been that way for a really, really long time. One of the most significant things that God wants us to know is that if we put our faith and trust in Christ, we become children of God. And that's what we're going to be focusing in on this morning. We're going to share some verses with you, verses that hopefully you're a bit familiar with, but if you're not, they shed some light on what God says about who we are as children of God. Our first passage is from John chapter, and we're going to jump around a bit, so it might be easiest just to follow along on the screens. But John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. And this is what John writes. So he writes, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Okay, right in the middle of this passage, some powerful words. "But to all who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God," or to be called children of God. So when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, yes, I get a new identity. I'm a new creation. I've become the righteousness of God, like we talked about last week. But I also have a unique relationship with God as I become a child of God. I know how many of you remember, there's a movie quite a while back called Aquila the Bee. And in it, Lawrence Fishburne plays like a mentor and teacher to a young girl who is wants to be a champion, spelling bee champion. And there's a moment where the mentor character is trying to build up the self-esteem of little Aquila. And so he has her read this plaque on the wall. Now, the plaque in the movie, it's a shortened version of a full quote. I want to read you the full quote. Here's what the full quote says. That's why we're not showing the clip. "But our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." So this is the quote that was presented in this movie. And I shared this quote with you because I do think it illustrates one of the subtle voices that we often believe, that all of humanity, all people, are children of God. I mean, this quote sounds good. It feels warm and cozy. The author of the quote is actually a Jewish woman who has a background in the Old Testament scriptures. But the ideas come from a book called A Course in Miracles, which is a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy based on universal spiritual themes, universalism. We are all God's children. It's See, not all voices are speaking the entire truth. Because the truth is this, being a child of God is a very privileged status. It's available to anyone, but not all people accept it. Here's what God's word says. We just read it. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God. See, all God's people, or all people, are God's creation. Now, we all bear the image of God to a certain degree, even though it's been marred by sin. But we only become his children when we choose to follow Jesus. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called children of God. Okay? So we are children of God. We become children of God when we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And that is how we receive that identity, that new creation. And when it comes to being a child, oftentimes in the past, you know, a person's family heritage was their source of identity, right? They were the son of so-and-so, the son of John, the son of Richard. So we get last names like Johnson and Richardson, right? Your identity as a child in the past was about who you are, and it still is today to a certain extent, whose you are, who you belong to, what clan are you a part of? Well, just like a kid belongs to a clan, so we belong to God. Right? God the Father already had one child, a perfect child, holy and divine. He had Jesus. But for him, one child was not enough. He wanted many sons and daughters. And Jesus made that possible. Now, we're not children in the same way Jesus is a child. Jesus is a natural child. He is one with God the Father. He is of the same divine essence as God the Father because he is God. We aren't children in that way. But Ephesians tells us that we've been adopted into his family. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 says this, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons, and that also means as daughters, through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Now, there are a number of people in church here who have been involved in foster care and adoption. I have a sister-in-law and her husband who have adopted a couple of kids over the last, you know, 5 years or so. And, you know, that adoption process, it can be extremely costly. It can be a huge commitment. I mean, it is a huge commitment. It can be very painful. It can be a tedious process. It's almost irrational if you think about it. I'm going to take this child who's not my own and just bring him into my home. Right? I'm going to love them and treat them as my own. And I accept them and I adopt them to make them my own. And that's exactly what God does for us. He loves us and treats us as his own. And through our faith in Christ, he accepts us and he adopts us and makes us his own. We belong to him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. Now, that also means, look, talks about predestined. It means God planned this from the beginning. Right? He determined that those who would receive Jesus were going to be adopted as his sons or daughters. And according to this passage, it's important to understand, he does it, first of all, in love. In love he did this. And second, according to his will, which means he adopted us because it pleased him to do that. Right? It pleased him to do so. He didn't do it out of some kind of obligation or duty. He wanted us to be his. It brings him joy to have us as his children and to call us his own. But it also goes even deeper than that, because Jesus, now as God's child, it's obvious that God the Father would love Jesus, his only son, right? In fact, God spoke about Jesus as his beloved son with whom he was well pleased. I mean, how could he not be pleased with Jesus? How could he not love Jesus? Jesus is of the same essence and nature as God. Jesus is literally the perfect child. But did you also realize that God loves us just the same as he loves Jesus? In fact, in John 17, 23, in part of his prayer for his followers was this. He says, I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. You loved them even as you loved me. That's Jesus speaking about God the Father. God the Father loves us as he loves Christ. Jesus prayed that we would realize this, that even though Jesus is a natural child and we are adopted children, God doesn't love us any less or any differently than he loves Jesus. He loves us even as he loves Christ. He loves us the same. That's why 1 John 3:1 says this, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. And some translations kind of juice that up a bit, and they're like, see what kind of love the Father has lavished on us, that he's poured it out on us, so that we should be called children of God. And so we are. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, God accepts me as his own. He accepts us as his own. He loves us just as he loves Jesus. So my true identity is this. I am a child of God, and I belong to him. I am a child of God, and I belong to him. Now, there are implications of this for us. As children of God, if we belong to him, then there's a couple of things that I think that means that are really helpful for us to consider this morning. And the first thing about being a child of God and belonging to him is this. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. Afraid of what, Eric? We don't have to be afraid of anything. Of anything. What are the things that you fear most in life? I know, spiders, centipedes, bats, whatever. But on the serious side, you know, do you fear rejection? Do you fear failure? Do you fear abuse or abandonment? Do you fear financial hardship? Do you fear persecution? Or sickness, or disease, or death. Those are some pretty difficult things, and I don't want to trivialize them in any way, but guys, those are nothing in comparison to the judgment and wrath that God would pour out on sin one day. Okay, so no matter how bad any day in your life gets, it will be a cakewalk compared to what we would face in that day. But because you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you don't have to fear that day or any other day that comes before it. Romans 8:15 says this, for you have not received a spirit of slavery to fall back into the spirit of fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. We don't have a spirit of fear. We've become his children. You're no longer a slave to fear. You don't have to be trapped by that. You don't have to be afraid of anything because you are a child of God and you belong to him. The second thing is this, that we don't have to be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. What are we often ashamed of? Ashamed of who we are. Right? We don't have to be ashamed of who we are. Now, I feel pretty blessed to have had a good family growing up. I hope and pray for our kids that they feel the same way one day about our family looking back at it, you know. But I realize that some of us have maybe had a pretty unhealthy family situation growing up. Maybe you had a rough relationship with one of your parents or your parents as a whole. Maybe you didn't even know them. You know, maybe you're ashamed of your family because it was physically violent or verbally abusive or just relationally unhealthy. Or maybe you're embarrassed by your family because it was poor. You were poor or morally unethical in some way. Maybe you had parents like the guy in the video. Maybe you had parents that were embarrassed of you, that were ashamed of you. You felt the sting of disapproval all the time. It's not like that with God. Romans 10, 11, and 12, for the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. When you become a child of God, you have nothing to be ashamed of. That doesn't mean there aren't things that God disapproves of. He does. There are plenty of those, and we have to seek to live the kind of life that he wants us to. But you have nothing to be embarrassed by. Your heavenly Father is perfect. He is perfect, and he has everything that you're ever going to need as his child. So you don't have to be ashamed of who you are in Christ. We don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to be ashamed of who we are. And here's the third thing, the third implication of being a child of God. We don't have to be alone. We don't have to be alone ever. Ever. Matthew 28, 20, Jesus is speaking to his followers before he leaves the earth for the final time. And he says, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. See, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the scripture says he gives us the Holy Spirit. God puts his spirit in us. It's what makes us spiritually alive. And he literally does that. It's not like some little analogy or metaphor. He literally puts his spirit in us, which means that the Spirit of God is present with us at every moment of our life, no matter where we go, no matter where we are. We're never alone, ever. God is always with us. These things are true when and only when we put our faith and our trust in Christ. When we do, our true identity is this: we're a child of God, and we belong to him. This morning, we're going to continue with a few songs of worship. The team can come on up. I'm going to pray for us as we do. And the songs of worship that we're going to focus around are really about this idea of being his child. And I encourage you to let these words kind of be a prayer, but also I hope to speak to you. I mean, I hope the words speak to you as we play, as we sing, as we worship. Because God is incredible, and if we are a child of him, that's an amazing thing. We belong to him. Let's pray. Father God, this morning we pray that as we sing these songs of worship to you, that we would be in a place in our hearts where we would be saying, I recognize that because I put my faith and trust in you, I am your child. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be ashamed. I don't have to be alone. You're with me. I have everything I need in who you are. And Lord God, as we sing and worship you this morning, pray that you would meet us in that place and let these words penetrate deep into our hearts, that we would be able to live from a place of recognizing that as a child of you, we are so privileged. Thank you for your love. Thank you for adopting us and making us your own. We're so grateful. We sing to you this morning in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.